Cleverty, good morning and welcome to That's Football Now. Welcome to the United Stands. I am still Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. I'm just going to close this drawer. I've got OCD. I can't do it with the drawer open. Anyway, hope you're all doing well this morning. Thank you very much for tuning in. So we're going to start. We've got loads to get into. Marcus Rashford actually talking sense for the first time in about 2 years. Has the move mellowed him, and he's speaking about Manchester United and what's been going wrong, and he's actually very true. So we'll talk about that. But I want to start off with Belieber or nothing, Amorim's transfer message. It's very, very clear now that as of this morning, Manchester United have discarded a goalkeeper. They are going to stick with what they have, and it's going to be Belieber or nothing. Now, is that the right call for Manchester United? I personally think it is. I'll explain why. We'll also talk about developments around Rasmus, just literally in the last couple of minutes, Fabrizio Romano saying that that deal to AC Milan is actually getting closer. Talk shit are talking about Man United in talks with Calvert-Lewin. We've also got an update on Antony from Real Betis. We've got other bits about Sancho. There was something about Collier as well. It's the Carabao Cup draw live tonight at 7 o'clock. Loads going on. It's Wednesday, people. Get bloody excited. Smash a like on the video. Get your comments in. Have your say. The Premier League starts in 48 hours. What do you think about that? Exciting times. Don't forget, it's exciting at the moment. Don't be moody. Okay, so let's. Where do we start? Well, let's start off with Ruben Amorim and what is clearly coming out of Manchester United. We saw last night Simon Stone saying that Manchester United are not looking at a goalkeeper at the moment. It is not a priority. This is obviously a huge change on what the summer has been since the March international break. We've basically made the decision that we want to replace Onana towards the back end of last season. We're now hitting the back end of the transfer window, and that is no longer the case. We can argue the whys and wherefores and everything like that, but ultimately, I think out of time is my analysis of this. We have only got a couple of weeks left of the transfer window. We're going to be negotiating with Brighton through the majority of that. There is no time and probably no money to go negotiating for Emi Martinez or Donnarumma. And I think, as some of you alluded to last night, it may well be the case that United are just going to put this off until next summer and try and get by with what they've got. Now, is that a risk? It's only as big a risk as refusing £100 million for Bruno and sticking him in your midfield. It's only as big a risk as buying two number 10s and you know, putting Amad at right wing back. All three of these risks could work and Amorim could be absolutely spot on. Onana could make mistakes, but we could still get fifth and then we replace him next summer. So I think as much as we can moan about it and we can debate it and we can say, I don't agree with it. I mean, the reality is we're going to spend £100 million on Belieber and we won't get a goalkeeper. That's the message coming out of Man United this morning. Now, I'm sure a lot of you would say, well, just buy a midfielder for 50 and get a goalkeeper as well. Yes, that is another option. Another option is just keep £100 million in your pocket, use it towards the debt and get neither. Well, we can't have that. I think that this ultimately, as of this morning, and look, you've got to acknowledge that I still think let's wait till August the 31st or whenever the window closes and see if we do get a goalkeeper, because I find it incredible that we'll go into the season with Bien Brand and Nana. But as of this morning, I think United's stance publicly is to put it out there that they're not looking at a goalkeeper and they're going to stick with what they've got. And the reason they're going to do that is because they've got to do one of the biggest deals in their history in 2.5 weeks, and they're not going to have money or time to do it. And I think also on top of that, Amorim's message is basically the club have probably said, if you want Belieber, you won't get a goalkeeper. And he's probably said, fine. And unless you're living in those shoes, I can put you in those shoes now. If you're the manager of Man United and you're told if you want £100 million spending on Belieber, you're not getting a goalkeeper, you can either spend that money and not get a goalkeeper, or we can try and get both. And Amorim's clearly going, I think this player is so important, I'll put up with what I've got. And you can't argue with that. I mean, I can do a poll on it. I think I will do a poll on it. But you can't necessarily argue with it, because ultimately, you want the manager to manage. I want the manager to manage. So if he makes this decision at the end of the day, as much as I don't even know what I would do, and I'll think about that in a moment because I want to get the news out and talk about that. before I do opinion, I will say I will always respect somebody who makes a decision. I've worked in plenty of jobs in my life where you're under pressure, you know, it's fast paced, things are going off all over the place, you know, casualties, etc. And, you know, you look to those above you, and the ones that you respect are the ones that make a decision, because the ones that differ make things worse. If you make a decision, and I respect that. So if Amrim's decision is, it's belaboring nothing, then, you know, we go, we move, don't we? So I am going to set up a poll on this, but let me just figure out how to do this. So either or, belabor and no goalkeeper, or other mid and goalkeeper. That'll do. Very, just keep it simple, basically. Just on belabor as well. I mean, I don't blame Romano. I don't blame David Ornstein. I don't blame Ben Jacobs. They do a lot of stuff. They get asked a lot of stuff. And the thing about an answer is you can only give the answer you know. And all they know at the moment is that we're in talks with Brighton and the Labour's agents. And that's where we are. Those talks continue. I suppose the positive is that they haven't collapsed. They're still going on. But there isn't really a hell of a lot to add in relation to that, other than we're still in it. And we said this last week, didn't we, that Sesko's deal happened really quickly because of Newcastle. This deal is going to be probably quite slow because of the lack of competition and the need for Brighton to get the best price they can get, and the need for Manchester United to get the best word that they can get. So I think it's interesting. 75% of you are saying belabor and no goalkeeper. So what we're posing here is that it's very, very clear this morning that Manchester United, and look, we've all played the game. I know as well as you know that we wanted a goalkeeper coming into this summer transfer window. Every journalist spoke about it. We approached Emi Martinez. We gave a price to Monaco. We all know we wanted a goalkeeper, and we all know we wanted to get rid of Onana. We also know that Onana won't go. So we also know that Man United have found it difficult. But I think as of last night, even I would sit there and go, that's a brief from the club to Simon Stone that we're not in for a goalkeeper anymore. So things change. And I think this morning, Man United are saying they're not in for a goalkeeper. Now, of course, that could be a bit of spin to maybe bring prices down, you know. Maybe if an Aston Villa are thinking that we're going to go in for Emi Martinez and they're going to get a price for Emi Martinez, it might make them pick up the phone and go, okay, we'll do it cheaper. But that's speculative. I think at the moment, you've just got to say, as the thumbnail says, out of time. Logically, you're intelligent people. You've done so many transfer windows with us. You know how it works. We're running out of time. We know how long we take to do deals. We're running out of time. It is August the 13th, you know. On the weekend, that's another 4 days gone. We've got like 2-3 weeks left in this window, and we're meant to be getting a goalkeeper and a striker, and a midfielder. I think we're going to run out of time. And I think that's why the message has gone out that a goalkeeper is not a priority, because I think United are trying to manage expectations in the fan base that you're not getting the labour and a goalkeeper, which is exactly what I think Amrim has decided. I think. And in fairness to Jim Radcliffe, he's probably said, okay, at the end of the day, £100 million, I'm going to have to cut down on the champers. It's a lot of money. And I think that Amrim's probably been told that it's also not the model we want to do anymore. So Jim said a year ago, we don't really want to be buying players for £90 million anymore. And here we are about to do that. So he's probably said to him, look, you've had touching £200 million on Cunha, Sesko and Mbeumo. You want another £100 million. That's basically 300 million quid. That's backing. Now, if you say to us, after £300 million, we didn't get you a goalkeeper, we would say, well, maybe you should have looked at some of the targets and gone for somebody a bit cheaper to get a goalkeeper. So I think that's what's happening here. And ultimately, it is belabor or nothing. Now, we got to live with the scenarios. I still think that Sesko is a good signing. Cunha is a good signing, and Mbeumo is a signing, and a good signing. And obviously, belabor would be a transformative signing in a very weak area. But unfortunately, it would mean we're going into a new season with a weakness, which you don't really want to do. But you've got to back the manager. You've got to back the manager. And if the manager is saying, I will go into this season with that goalkeeper, then you've got to do it. And as I always said back in March when we broke it, that Amrim didn't want Anana anymore, it was never that he thought he was a knobhead or anything like that. Anana's very, very popular in the dressing room. He's very, very well liked. It's a technical thing. It's his ability. The confidence in the back five is not there. The confidence from the manager is not there. So that's why we wanted to do something about it. Interestingly, anyway, on the poll so far, Baleba and no goalkeeper, 73% of you. Other midfielder and a goalkeeper, 27%. So look, you can see there that nearly 75% of you watching this morning are with Amrim. You would rather spend the money on Baleba and not get a goalkeeper and stick with Anana for another year than go for a different type of midfielder and get a goalkeeper. I'm going to go in the minority. I, to be honest with you, I think it's absolutely important to solve issues. I think when you spend a ridiculous amount of money on a certain player and you leave a hole in your team, I've watched so many seasons. I think when the season starts and the goalkeeper messes up, everyone's going to say we should have bought a goalkeeper. So I'm sorry, I'm going to do it again. I said we should have took £100 million for Bruno because I don't think he's a midfielder. And I'm going to say it here, we should be getting a goalkeeper. And if that means we get a cheaper midfielder and a goalkeeper, then I would do it for the balance of the team. But, you know, I'm in the minority. I put my hands up. And I'm glad I'm in the minority because 73% of you are basically backing the manager and his decision, which I love. And I am backing the manager, by the way. I'm just saying it's a risk. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a risk not to get a goalkeeper. But look, there's nothing I'd like more than Anana to start the season well, win the Golden Glove and be brilliant. I don't think people realise just, you know, ultimately for me, all that matters is Manchester United. And if this works, it's great. JR says, games are won and lost in the midfield, Mark. As long as we have a solid defence, we hopefully won't concede many goals. Have you seen Rashford's comments about Man United, says John? I'm literally going to talk about them in a moment because it's a news show. Do you think Collier is good enough for the future, says Fabio? Well, I read a story this morning that Collier could be off to Hull City. I think I know that Collier is surplus to requirements and that Amrim would like to move him on. I think what's likely to happen is that we will bring Baleba in. Casemiro is refusing to go. So we will remove Collier and we will have a midfield five as Baleba, Ugarte, Mainoo, Bruno and Casemiro. And Collier will be moved on. Get Baleba and loan Lemens with buy obligations, says Ghost. What makes you think Royal Antwerp would loan as their starting goalkeeper? I don't think they would do it. I think we get Baleba this year and go all in for Costa next summer, says like Schofield. And having that unbalanced midfield for another season would cause us more problems than keeping Anana, says McElvis. I don't disagree with you, mate. The question wasn't that. The question was, would you get a midfielder like Baleba and keep Anana, or would you get a cheaper midfielder and get a goalkeeper? I didn't say one or the other. I said, would you rather get a goalkeeper and a cheaper midfielder, or would you get Baleba and keep Anana? Which is different to what you're saying, because what you're saying is that I'd get the midfielder because Anana isn't going to cause us as many problems. Personally, I think you solve all problems. That's what I'm saying. So technically you're right, but what I'm saying is I would solve both problems. I don't see it as an either or. I see it as you essentially solve problems. We finished 15th last year. That's what worries me. Tyrus, thank you very much and welcome to the Members Club. Seth Wynn says, bottom line, Amrim is the manager. He is showing progress. So if that is his decision, we should get behind him 100%. Credit to Ineos, if they get Baleba, will show that they trust Amrim's vision. Exactly. You have to book back your manager, Seth. But it's going to be a bumpy ride for Anana. I don't think he really cares about it. But, it's going to be a bumpy ride, I think, if it doesn't go well. Why do people not see that a new keeper would change the way we play? It's vital for us to be able to play the way Amrim wants to. A new keeper would change how the defence plays and the midfield, says Mike T. Brian says, getting the new defensive midfielder and not replacing a terrible goalkeeper is crazy. It's like a first date looking for the business with your what's it poking at your flies. No chance. Thank you, Brian. Disappointed if we don't sign a goalkeeper, but Anana is better than Sanchez and Chelsea got fourth. Is it a risk, though, says Tom Smith. I think that is a very good point. This is exactly what I said last night. I still think you can get fifth with Anana, but on the other hand, it can also cost you fifth. So, it's a weakness in the team that hopefully won't be too damaging. Chip says, I think we will get a goalkeeper. They just want it out there and they aren't Donnarumma move, so it doesn't look like a snub and keeps our expectations down, says Chippo. Could be to do with Donnarumma, you're right. Insufficient backing from Glinios again. Amrim is not stupid. He'll walk away at the end of next season. Wouldn't blame him. Wow. He's just about to get £100 million midfielder. Even I would say that that's, you can't say that's not a backing. And Wuzzy says, do you think there's a chance we get Belaber and Wharton over two summers, given it's likely that both Bruno and Casemiro will be leaving in 26? I mean, that's a midfield I think we'd all like to construct. Having said that, I think a lot of people are building a midfield of Mainoo and Belaber for the future. Buy any player, not the right hit players again, says Pizza. Thank you very much for that. And Nana has been training hard this offseason with a top-tier volleyball coach. We good, Brev, says Jeremy. Belaber will help our team more than a goalkeeper, says Jeremy. We want to get to a position like the other top teams, getting 3 and 4 on the regular and be good defensively. It could bite us in the tighter games, says Glenn C. Okay, well, let's go back to the story here. So, there is a, just very, very quickly here, and my understanding is from United sources that this isn't true, so I'm actually going against Fabrizio here. So Fabrizio has put out that, just before we went live, AC Milan keep advancing on Rasmus Højlund deal with Manchester United. Talks ongoing on player side to discuss the project as Højlund is opening doors to AC Milan. €6 million loan fee. €45 million buy option clause and salary cover. Details revealed last week. Agreement closer. Now, that's from Fabrizio. But the interesting thing is, from the United side, nothing has changed and there is no door being opened by Rasmus. So it's really interesting because obviously I would believe Fabrizio over me. But from United side, that's not the case. Nothing's changed since the weekend. Obviously, United have spoken to AC Milan and AC Milan are interested in Rasmus, but Rasmus doesn't want to go at the moment. He doesn't want the AC Milan move at the moment. So it's interesting. I presume Fabrizio might be getting that from Milan because from the United side, they're saying that nothing's changed. So, I mean, 6 million loan fee is crap. 45 million euro buy option. If anybody's falling for that, you're stupid, I'm afraid. I'm sorry that I'm not calling you stupid without evidence. Literally a year ago, we fell for a lie that Chelsea had an obligation to buy Sancho, and Sancho's a Man United player. So buy option isn't obligation to buy, and we know obligation to buy isn't worth the paper it's written on. So for me, the buy options are relevant. The loan fee is crap. And okay, I'd expect them to cover his wages. So we're basically going to get just under 5 million as a loan fee for a whole season for a striker that actually I would rather have sat on our bench. And you know, if rumours are to be believed, we'd then use that 5 million to bring Calvert-Lewin in. I mean, it's just a big no. It's just a big, fat no. It doesn't make any sense at all to me, that. It's not even like we get good money from it, is it? So, I don't know. But look, by all means, believe Fabrizio, but what I was told is that that deal is no closer than it was at the weekend, and that there isn't any development around AC Milan and Rasmus at the moment. So I don't know. But look, Fabrizio's a go to the game. So there we go. XO says Goldbridge is not a Belaber. Shameful. It's weird how people interpret things, isn't it? Because I've been talking about Belaber longer than most of you. I mean, you can go back to That's Football at the start of last season where I was talking about this player Belaber and how good he was. And how, you know, I think he's going to be an absolute superstar. So him coming to Manchester United would be a dream. What I'm saying is, I want a goalkeeper as well. I don't think it's acceptable to spend £100 million on Belaber and not get a goalkeeper. I think you have to get both. So United even need to find the money, or we're going into the season with a big risk. But I will back the manager if he is making the decision that he would rather spend the £100 million on Belaber and not get a goalkeeper. I will back the manager. It's a risk. It's a bigger risk as putting Bruno in the midfield, as far as I'm concerned. Right, let me talk to you about these Marcus Rashford comments, because I think Marcus Rashford has come in for some deserved stick over the last couple of months, etc. But the comments that he's come out with in an interview with Gary Lineker are quite interesting. He said, he was asked for his assessment on Manchester United, and he said, we've been well below where United... Sorry, have I got the right bit here? Yeah, okay, I have. So basically, Marcus Rashford has been speaking to Gary Lineker. Obviously, he's moved to Barcelona. Gary Lineker did that Instagram post, didn't he, of him and Lineker. So Rashford's probably loving that, and they've agreed to do an interview. Brilliant. Okay. So he's given the interview, and this is what Marcus Rashford has said when he was asked for his assessment on Manchester United at the moment. He said, "We've been well below where United should be. People say we've been in transition for years, but to be in transition, you have to start it first. The real transition hasn't even begun. When Liverpool went through this period, they bought in Klopp and stuck with him. They didn't win at the start. People only remember his later years when he was competing with City and winning the biggest trophies. To start a transition, you need to set a plan and stick to it. We've had so many managers, ideas and strategies for winning that we've ended up at a standstill. Does it hurt? Yes, 100%, but not just as a player, also as a fan." That is probably the most clarity we've had from Marcus Rashford in years. And the funny thing is, I have no issue with it at all. He's absolutely spot on. It's only what you and I have been saying for years. And the funny thing is, it precludes him from our future, because we actually have got the manager now that is going to be backed and stuck with, and looked at Rashford and went, "You're not part of my plan. For whatever reason, get out." So I think it's mature, intelligent and correct for Marcus Rashford to be moving on in his dream move of Barcelona, but be able to reflect back at Manchester United in a positive way and give a fair and honest assessment that isn't about him. Because he's not part of this. He has literally been booted out of this, but is still able to sit there and go, "Look, you know," and he doesn't name Amrin by name because probably there is a bit of, you know, an issue there. But what he's saying is exactly what Ineos need to do and the Glazers need to do. If you look at what Liverpool did with Klopp, they stuck with him. We've never stuck with a manager. Jose Mourinho, Erik ten Hag, Louis van Gaal. I've been saying this, you've been saying this for years. We need to get off the hamster wheel and stop sacking managers. So Amorim needs to be given time to make mistakes and grow the club. And that's basically what Marcus Rashford's saying. The ironic thing is, he's absolutely correct and he's mature enough to say it, knowing that the person who's going to be backed and hopefully do what Jurgen Klopp did at Liverpool literally got rid of him in the first 2 months. So I think that takes a level of maturity to be able to reflect and go, "Look, I'm not part of this journey. I'm actually been booted out of it. But United need to stick with the manager. Otherwise, they'll always be in transition." Now, he doesn't name drop Amorim, to be fair, and I wouldn't expect him to. But I think we can give him credit that in a way he sort of is. And look, this is what happens when it's a life lesson. This is what happens when you move on without regrets and without bitterness. Because he plays for Barcelona now, and he's probably in a very good headspace. And in his mind, he'll be going, "Well, Barcelona are better than Man United," which they are. They are better than Man United. They're in the Champions League. They've just won La Liga. It's a fantastic club. So whether you're breaking up from a relationship, leaving a job, whatever, the key is not to look back with bitterness, because that means you haven't moved on. You need to move on. And it appears to me like Marcus Rashford is moving on and is able to look back, maybe as a fan, like he says, in a logical way and go, "I don't need to put myself into this anymore because I've got what I want." So I can look at Man United in a more refreshing and honest way and say, "Look, it's sad what's happened to them, but they need to stick with somebody and properly rebuild." And I think he is alluding to Amorim, which I think there's certain players out there that would never say that because they'd be so locked up with bitterness. So I think it's refreshing. Look, I've had my issues with Rash over the last 2 years. I think he's behaved, you know, poorly on the pitch. You know, I think there's question marks around what goes on off the pitch, of course. But he's certainly not one of those players that now, I mean, he's still a Man United player, technically, of course, but he's certainly not one of those. I mean, as I said, like last season, I think if I'd have been the CEO of a Premier League club, I'd have been doing my best to get hold of him, because I just believe there is a player there if he gets his mindset correct. So, you know, I hope he does well at Barcelona. Wish him all the best. It's a breakup that needed to happen, but it doesn't mean that either side needs to. And look, you know, if he can speak like that, then we can speak like that as fans. There's no need to hold any lingering toxicity because he's not here anymore. So, you know, we all need to stop living in the past and start living in the future. So I think it was an interesting thing that he said. He also said that there was something else he said as well. A lot of people just coming out with the way below par thing. He He said, when Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge, there were not only principles for the first team, but also for the academy. So you could pick players who all understood Man United's playing principles. Any team that's been successful over a period has principles. That means any coach or player who comes in must align with those principles or complement them. United really wanted to win, but if your manager keeps changing, you can't hope to win the league. You can win cups because you have good coaches, good players who win your matches. So I think what he's saying there is that, I don't really know what he's saying here. I don't know whether he's saying that any team that's been successful has principles. That means any coach or player who comes in must align with those principles or complement them. I mean, Man United have got principles, and I don't think Amorim aligns to them. I don't know whether Rashford's saying that, to be honest. But Man United principles are obviously wingers getting the ball into the box, risky attacking football. That's what the principles used to be. That's what we need to get back to. So I think in a roundabout way, that's probably what he's talking about, to be fair. But very interesting. And, nice to have some positivity. As I say, we're about to start a brilliant Premier League season. If we can't be positive at the moment, I don't know when we can be. Tyrus has just gifted a membership. You're a legend, pal. Tusha says, we needed about 3 midfielders and about 150 million spent on it. And now we want to bring in just one for 100 or over. Ridiculous. And we'll finish about 10th. I do disagree with you, Tusha. But where I do pose a conversation, which is what we're here to do, because it's not just about what I think. You can obviously have debates, and intelligent people are able to debate things that they don't necessarily believe, but they enjoy the debate. If I said to you, we've spent £300 million on Cunha, Mbeumo, Šeško and Belaiba, have we spent that £300 million well, or have we spent... What I'm trying to say is, I think some people would say, if you spend £300 million, I would expect to solve every problem. Out of the 5 problems, we've solved 4 and left the goalkeeper. So that's the question, isn't it? Is it the best way to spend £300 million? You would expect to be able to get a goalkeeper as well in that. But we've spent 66 on Šeško, 65 on Mbeumo, 62 on Cunha, and what will probably be between 80 and 100 on Belaiba. There is no 30, 40 million pound signing there. We've gone top level. The proof, my opinion on that is, it's a very difficult question to answer, because the proof's in the pudding. Nothing is told in a summer transfer window. It's Christmas. It's next May. I understand the conversation. You know, if you spend £300 million, how the fuck do you not get 5 players? But when you look at the players, we couldn't have got Šeško any cheaper. We couldn't have got Mbeumo any cheaper. We definitely couldn't have got Cunha any cheaper. And we're not going to get Belaiba any cheaper. So what you're asking me to do is, you're saying, well, if we spend £300 million, we should get a goalkeeper as well. Fine. But I can't get those 4 players cheaper than I've paid. So what you're asking me to do is sacrifice one of those players for somebody cheaper to bring a goalkeeper in. And I'm not sure whether I'm willing to do that. We can do without a goalkeeper if our midfield defence is compact. I've done that one from Chin. Thank you very much. Remember what the voice of reason said yesterday, says Sean Turner. I can't remember what the voice of reason said yesterday, Sean. Buy Belaiba now and let him take Bruno place in midfield. Sell Bruno at the end of the season. Recruit most of the fee. I think him and Ugarte could be good, says Dan. We need, done that from Tusha, Chin. Who would you rather sign, Donnarumma or Ruddy? Says CF26. Surely we can afford John Victor, says B16. Yeah, I don't know what's happened to him. He was meant to be going to West Ham and they left him at the airport, didn't they? Could we wait till January for a goalkeeper, says I'm Kenny. I don't want to do business in January. I know this comes across as really stupid and people are going to go, what are you talking about? I don't want to do key business in January. I don't mind doing January business because we've got a striker crisis or a midfield crisis. Like Bruno came in because Pogba and McTominay were injured. But I don't want to be doing major business in January. I don't want to say, let's go for our goalkeeper in January, because I think you're halfway through the season then. I think it's either now or the summer for a goalkeeper. That might be Milan's offer, but United don't have to accept it. But then how desperate are we to recoup funds after big spends, says Emily Derry. MMA Takedown says it's their birthday today, so happy birthday to them. Can you break the news to my woman? I can't pronounce their name, mate. I've never... How do you pronounce that? K-A-O-I-M-H-E. I'm staying up watching the UFC this weekend and going to the pub Sunday. There you go. I can't pronounce your wife's name.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Or woman's name. Do we have to win silverware to keep hammering, says Jack? No. You don't win silverware in fifth and we'd all be having a party. You don't win silverware in second and we'd be building a statue. So I don't think silverware. I think that's a bit of a red herring, Jack. Well done. Silverware could be a shit season and no silverware could be a brilliant season. Second place would be build a statue. Carabao Cup and 12th would be sack him. So silverware doesn't always... the season we're having, silverware is somewhat irrelevant because we're not going to win the Prem and we're not in Europe. So another FA Cup and another Carabao Cup. Look, Van Gaal and Ten Hag win the FA Cup and they got sack. So I don't think silverware is that important this season. It'd be nice. It would be nice to get fifth and win an FA Cup or a Carabao Cup, but I don't think it's that important. And we must take the cup seriously, by the way. We must take the cup seriously. Isn't Belabor another learner driver, though, Mark? I think Belabor, for me, as a learner driver, sort of falls into the Sesko category in the sense that when you look at someone like Rasmus, who'd had, you know, a breakout season at Atalanta and then he's thrown up front for Man United at 20 years of age, I think that's a learner driver. It's unfair. But when you're Sesko at 22 and you've had 4 years in the Champions League, you're still young and you're still learning and you still need patience, but you're not quite a learner driver. And the same with Belabor. Look, he's still young and he's still got a lot to do, but he has had, what, a season and I want to say a half? A year and a half in the Prem. So he's not quite a learner driver, no. 28 months flew by. Excited for this roller coaster season ahead with our amazing community. Big up United Stand. Hope for a couple more players. I've got a story on Anthony I'm about to bring you. Thank you very much, John, for being a member for 28 months. Rajaf says, check out my last super chat, Mark. Okay. Is it not Onana who has forced Ruben's hand by not wanting to leave and no one coming in for him, says Philip? Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to talk about that because I think it's problematic for a goalkeeper that I will always admit is technically not very good. But if he's our goalkeeper, we need to back him. And the funny thing with Onana is that there are countless player ratings, match reaction shows, which are back on Sunday, I'm excited, where I've given Onana a 7 or a 7.5. I don't think I've ever given him an 8. But you know, Onana can have a good game. There are times where we're tweeting, great save by Onana. It can happen. So I'm very aware if he's our goalkeeper, there's not one part of me that's thinking, oh, I hope he makes a mistake. Like, I want him to be the man of the match. I want him to make loads of good saves. I don't know. I don't trust him, but obviously that's the case. So I'm not comfortable with what United are putting out there at the moment is that he's probably our starting goalkeeper for the season. I don't really want to say that he's only here because he won't leave, because that's like, that's the negative. But I'd be a hypocrite because he's been refusing to leave for months. He won't go. He won't find a move. So, you know, I'm just going to say it. I don't necessarily blame Onana for that because Man United could have bought a goalkeeper in and said, fine, you don't need to leave. You're not going to be the starting goalkeeper. And then he would have left. So I think it's unfair to blame Onana because if you're in his position and you don't want to go and they haven't bought a goalkeeper in and you think to yourself, I don't want to go. I want to prove him wrong. And they don't bring a goalkeeper in. Why would you make the decision? Like if somebody said to you, you can be Man United starting goalkeeper next year, all you've got to do is just say you're not leaving. Then why would you not do that if you believe in yourself? Obviously, if United go and buy Donnarumma or Martinez, you're going to have to go, okay, I tried. But in a way, obviously, if Onana had left, we would buy a goalkeeper. But just because he won't leave, United could have brought a goalkeeper in to force him out. I mean, it's not quite... I mean, some people would say it's only the same as Rasmus or Casemiro. It's not quite the same. Casemiro is on 300 grand a week and has a year left on his contract and will be very rich next summer when he's a free agent. Rasmus is 22, probably doesn't mind the fact that Sesko's come in and wants to stay and compete for a place knowing that he's not going to start. Onana is different because he has the number one shirt and no one's going to take it away from him until we buy someone, which we're not going to do. But look, we're going to have to back him in goal. Otherwise, it gets toxic. If Onana has a blinder this season, would you still want him out next summer or would you give him another chance? No, you'd keep him. For him to have a blinder, he's got to basically rewrite history. And, you know, he's got to become somebody that can palm the shots out of danger, that can come for crosses, that can distribute the ball, that can get down to low shots. If he can do all that, we wouldn't get rid of him. But do you think, it's a reset, isn't it? Completely. Glenn C says, we want to get a position like the other top teams. I've done that one from Glenn C. Appreciate that. But I was asked by Rajaf that apparently with, here we go. Rajaf says the pragmatic decision would be either midfielder plus a new goalkeeper, but Belaba could be another Yoro-like signing where we might be looking at something generational, which is probably what Amarin's choice is. Mike says that Belaba is far too important to miss out on. Onana is bad, but Chelsea just had a good defensive record with Sancho. He's also made the same mistakes. Belaba is generational player like Casado, can't miss out, says Mike. There you go. It's a risk. That, you know, I'm going to move on to the Anthony story, but all I'm going to say is it's a risk. And leave it at that. And the manager must be allowed to make decisions, of course. There's no doubt about that. And he's making big calls. Like, Ahmad's going to be a right wing back. Some people think that's a bloody nightmare defensively. Some people think he'll spend a lot of time on the bench because he'll pick Dalot over him. Let's see. You can't be benching Ahmad. Bruno in the midfield at £100 million. Rejected from Al Hilal when you don't think he's a midfielder, he's a number 10. It's a risk. Not buying a goalkeeper, so you spend £100 million on a midfielder. It's a risk. All these things will be analysed week in, week out on this channel because that's what fans do. And I'll tell you what, I can't wait. I don't see it as a negative. I see it as a positive. I think it's an exciting time before a ball has been kicked. And because we're not in Europe, we're going to have so much time to analyze these decisions over the coming weeks and months. So I am very, very excited about it. And, you know, it's exciting to have a manager that is making big calls. And some of those big calls we'll agree with, and some of them we won't, because that's what loving football is all about. And as I said, nothing made me happier than seeing Marcus Rashford, Garnacho, Sancho, and Anthony not walking into Carrington with their boots under their arms smiling because they were banned. I think that was brilliant. You know, I'd have took the money for Bruno if you're not going to play him as a number 10. Ahmad at right wing back, I don't think he'll play there every week. So how's he going to play as a number 10 when we've got Mbeumo and Cunha? And I'm putting Onana in goal all season worries me. But risks are putting Sheringham and Solskjaer on and winning a Champions League final that you look like you're going to lose. Risks are putting an honouring goal and finishing 10th. Like, what my point is, just because it's risky doesn't mean it's not going to work. And fundamentally, when you talk about what Marcus Rashford's saying about the principles of Manchester United, our principles are taking risks. So we've got a manager that's taking risks and we're sort of going, oh, it's risky. I mean, honestly, it's what Man United is. And some of you won't be as old as me. Some of you will be older than me. Some of you will be a lot younger than me. We've always been a club that takes risks. And we're taking risks. So I'm not going to moan about it. I'm just going to say, let's get excited. Let's assess it. And let's see what happens. Because you can't argue that Amarin isn't headstrong, confident, and taking risks. And I see that as a positive. And look, you know what? I love doing the United Stand. I love the community we've built. And, you know, there has been times where, you know, you've got a midweek game in the Europa League, you know what team is going to pick, you know we're not going to play well, and you're sort of like, part of me's like, I quite like the fact that we're not in Europe. Maybe because I know we're not in Europe, but like, if we've played Everton on a Sunday at 4 o'clock and we draw 2-2, I'd quite like the idea of having a couple of days to really analyze it in a deep way and go, right, let's talk about this in the midfield. Let's talk about that there. And I think we're going to get lots of opportunity. Look, there's not been a manager. You're always going to get massively scrutinized as a manager of Manchester United. But I don't think there's a season where we're going to get as much scrutiny as this from the fans. I mean, the media are going to write and type their shit and talk it as well. But we're going to have so much to talk about because we've got so many players coming in. It's such an important season and there's some big calls being made. So I'm looking forward to it. I think people don't know if they don't follow League One. Donnarumma was an extremely mistake-prone goalkeeper this season. He shined because midfield was amazing and he had less mistake opportunities. Form is important, says Derek. Well, we're not getting Donnarumma anyway. I'd be very stunned if we got Donnarumma. And it doesn't look like we're going to get a goalkeeper either. Right. Let me... Oh, no, this is not a touchscreen one. How do I do this? Oh, there it is. I've got a laptop and I've got a touchscreen thing. Okay. Important update on Anthony. Still got a couple of updates to bring it. Make sure you subscribe. Please share the video. Anaban says, when is your Arsenal preview? So I'm doing a video with Robbie on That's Football, which goes out on Friday, which is our new Premier League prediction. So we'll be talking about it there. My actual Arsenal preview is, and I want to try and leave it as late as possible because I'm sort of like, I don't want to do it. I know some people are going to start doing them today and tomorrow, but I don't know. I don't know when to do it, really. I don't know why I keep putting it off. I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it 8 p.m. on Saturday. That's too late. But you know what? I might just drop it at 2 a.m. for the American audience tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to do it. I don't know when I'm going to do it. It's a good question there. Anyway, let me talk to you about Anthony. So Real Betis sporting director, Manu Gallardo, has confirmed the Spanish club is not giving up on re-signing Manchester United winger Anthony before the end of the summer transfer window. He says, he said both parties want him to be here this season. Every day that passes allows us to dream of him being here. If Anthony is here, it's because the numbers add up. The most important thing is the club's sustainability. We can't do anything crazy. It's okay to think big, but you also have to keep your feet on the ground. If he doesn't sign with the club, there are still options, but the deal would take place within the parameters we have budgeted at the club. So, effectively, we are being held to ransom, as we know. Anthony wants Betis. Betis wants Anthony. Man United don't want him to go to Betis. So they are basically just counting down the days, hoping that on the last day, Anthony and Betis get what they want. And what Betis basically want is another freebie with us paying his wages. That's basically what they want. They can't afford him. We're not a fucking... You know what? We are a club in £1 billion of debt, paying £40 million a year in debt interest, not paying the debt off, just interest on the debt. We finished 15th last year. We couldn't be further from being a charity. If we were Man City, you might just go, you know what? You can have him for another year on loan and we'll pay off his wages. We are the furthest away from being a fucking charity. And yet we're being asked to be a charity here. Like you had him for 6 months. He got you to a final and he got you into Europe. No way your bread's buttered, for God's sake. And Anthony, we've been paying you £200,000 a week for 3 years. You've not justified it for a month. So it is a piss take, honestly. I like Betis. I like Anthony. But this is a piss take now. Like, you can't, and we're paying him £200,000 a week since July, by the way. He's had £800,000 in July. And he'll get another £800,000 in August. And he's doing nothing. So I've seen people defending Anthony saying, oh, I can understand it. Let's not forget, we're not getting a fucking goalkeeper. We're not getting a goalkeeper. Now, we can say we're not getting a goalkeeper because of Onana. We can say we're not getting a goalkeeper because we're going to spend big on Belaba. We're also not getting a goalkeeper because we've got players like Anthony that we're paying wages for that we can't sell. We've got players like Sancho that we can't sell. So it's annoying, really, that we're in this position. No FPL this year, Mark, says Tusha. I haven't even looked at it yet. I probably will do it, but it'll be late. It won't be today. I'm busy. Also, there was something on Jadon Sancho I wanted to bring in as well. Sancho has apparently turned down an offer to leave Manchester United. Fabrizio Romano reports that Sancho has rejected the chance to reunite with former United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Beşiktaş. 25-year-old is believed to be holding out for a move to Italy and has therefore turned down Beşiktaş. The stance, however, could change if he's still searching for a new club as per the transfer deadline. I mean, we have witnessed, in my opinion, we have witnessed one of the greatest transfer windows I've ever known. And you're talking to somebody who has got home from school as a 12-year-old with no internet, gone onto Teletext, page 312 for the transfer news. I have loved transfers since I was a kid, since my paper round, reading every paper. So, you know, how many transfer windows have I witnessed? Easily. I mean, obviously, when I was four, I wasn't looking at them, but, you know, it's touching over 35 transfer windows easily. And I have never known one like this. It's been absolutely stunning. And not just from a United point of view, which, and actually, you know what? Let's be blunt. Our transfer window at the moment is probably a 5 out of 10, but it's still interesting. But collectively, you look at what Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, City. I mean, look, Jacob Ramsey's going to Villa from Newcastle. I don't even understand that. It's a crazy window and it's going to get even crazier in the last few weeks. But what also adds to the craziness is people like Jadon Sancho and people like Antony and people like Garnacho that are just willing to not only miss pre-season, but miss the start of the season. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a professional footballer. You probably live in a bubble so much that you don't appreciate what you have. But I think every single one of us, if we were a footballer, would be crying into our cornflakes every morning if we weren't going to start the season. Like, I don't know how your mindset works. I'd be on to my agent saying the season starts in 2 weeks. I have to start the season. I love football. I have to start the season. And these players are like, no, end of August is all I'm bothered about. Literally missed preseason and the first three games of the season. It's a crazy mentality. And it just shows you that to many of these players, it's a job. It's a job. It's not a passion. They're not passionate about football. I just was like, you know, you have such a short career. You listen and talk to ex-players and, you know, they'll tell you anyway, but you can see it in them. The light's gone out when they retire. And not in a, you know, some of them do get very depressed and stuff, but they know they're never going to get those days back. And you can tell that they'd love just to have four or five games again and play. And these players are just willingly missing out on preseason and everything. It's a madness. It really, really is. And unfortunately, we've got three of them. And fair play to Rashford to get in the Barcelona move quickly. Oh, we've got four of them. We've got Malacia as well, haven't we? It's mad. But also, on top of that, I don't know whether you realised as well, Eriksen and Lindelof, if they don't have a club. I mean, they're not our problem, but Eriksen and Lindelof do not have a club. They left Man United, officially at the start of July, but really in June. I don't think they went on the Asia tour, did they? They've not got clubs either as free agents. It's, I don't know. It's a funny one, isn't it? We need to change that, by the way. We need to change that completely. We can't have another summer where people are sat on their arse. And also, I don't think it's a good look when people's contracts expire and nobody wants them. Lindelof might be going to Leverkusen, Eugene. I know, but these players should be getting snapped up. And it's embarrassing for United, really, because we kept Lindelof for 8 years. He leaves on a free and nobody actually snaps him up. So the bigger point is, I think that 2 points. One, we've really got to look at the attitude profile of our players. I mean, look, Sancho, Antony and Garnacho will leave, but ultimately there's an attitude issue there when they're not even bothered about the start of the season. And you've got Lindelof and Eriksen leaving and nobody actually wants them. So there's two things I'd be looking at there if I was Sir Jim. One, why have we got so many players that can't be asked to play football? And two, why when players run their contract down, no one wants them? That's a lesson learned for us. Because if you look at Chelsea and Manchester City, they have no problem, and Liverpool now, they have absolutely no problem in moving players on. But this is the cultural change that we need to see at United. Absolutely fantastic show this morning. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Hope you did as well. Hope you felt the positivity running through it as well. I'm very much looking forward to the start of this season. And I suggest you do as well, because come Monday, Sunday evening, that bubble might burst massively for all of us if we get a tonking from Arsenal, which could happen. They're a good side. I don't think it will. I don't think we'll lose. I've said that for weeks, but you know, it's this is what we do it for. Can't wait. Take care, everyone. We are back at 2 o'clock tonight, this afternoon, of course, and also it's a 7 o'clock show tonight. Now, the reason it's not an 8 o'clock show, I'm upset myself because I love the 8 o'clock show. The reason it's a 7 o'clock show is because it's the Super Cup at 8 o'clock, PSG against Spurs, which I'm doing a watch along for on That's Football. So I will be live at 8 o'clock, but it'll be on That's Football. 7 o'clock tonight will be live. But the positive about that is the Carabao Cup draw will be ongoing at 7 o'clock as well. So we'll be live at 7. Take care, everyone. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you on the next one.